Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody tonight. Thank you for coming out. Amen. You know that song about the rain, right? You know, when the rain, God said, in these last days, I will pour out of my spirit, right, upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men shall have dreams, and your old men shall have visions. Praise the Lord. How many of you know when it rains, it's not the time to put up an umbrella, right? Spiritually speaking. It's not the time to put up your umbrellas, but to just let it pour and let it rain and just receive all that God has for us. Praise God. Well, turn to me to, let's see where we're going to go. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, the Gospel of Mark 16. We're going to look at verse 17. When you get there, just say, praise the Lord. Amen. Now Jesus writes this scripture just moments before he ascends to the Father. He tells his disciples in Mark chapter 16, and he tells them, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Or these signs shall come alongside them that believe. And he goes on, he says, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, just from what we read, according to what Jesus just said, that these supernatural signs, these are supernatural signs, right? And these supernatural signs are supposed to, they're supposed to follow those who believe. Yeah. And since you and I are believers, right? We're all believers. Right? We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, right? We believe that the Bible that you have is the Word of God, the inerrant, flawless Word of God, right? So we're believers, yeah? So according to what Jesus says, that these signs are supposed to follow them that believe. Amen. These signs are supposed to follow you and me. Because these signs are, we can say these signs are God's signatures that the message is true. The message that you preach or the message that you share has God's signature validating the message that you are preaching or that you are sharing with somebody else. Amen. Yeah. And that's what these signs are. They're God's signatures on it. Every miracle that Jesus did, whether it's opening blind eyes or healing some crippled person or raising someone from the dead, was to validate who he was. That he was who he said he was, that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what those miracles did. It was to validate he who he was. Amen. And these signs that are supposed to follow those that believe is to validate you as a believer in Christ. And these signs are supposed to follow us, we who believe. Yeah. God never called believers to follow signs. These signs are supposed to follow us. They're supposed to come alongside of us wherever we go. Amen. And to follow us. Every time the gospel, this good news is preached, whether it's in the church or in the mission fields, in a bus, right? At your job or in a grocery store. If you're sharing the word of God, this good news with somebody else, right? You should expect that these supernatural signs will be present. with you, because God will endorse the message that you're sharing with that individual. Amen. Now, did you hear me? You should expect these supernatural signs to be present. God will always confirm His word. Yeah, the word that you're ministering, right? Not so much the messenger. The messenger can be all shapes and sizes, all colors, all nationalities, but it's the message that He confirms. Yeah. It can be Hawaiian, Portuguese, Japanese, however, God uses messengers too. How many of you are messengers? Yeah? If you're a messenger, you're a believer, then these signs will accompany you. So if that's true, and if we believe that, why don't we see more of these signs following Christians? Why? Well, the answer to that question is found in Jesus' word. We just read it. And these signs shall follow them that believe, right? Or let me put it this way. Or these signs shall follow them that are constantly believing. Just as faith does not come by having heard, but faith comes by hearing, it's the same thing. Believing is not believing once, but a constant believing, a constant expecting that when I share this message, I'm expecting these signs to follow me. Whether it's someone getting saved, or whether it's someone getting healed, or whatever it is, these signs, I'm expecting, I'm constantly believing that when I share this message, things are going to happen. Because God, by the Holy Spirit, will confirm this word in your life as a believer. Amen. So if Christians are not activating their faith, right? If we are not activating our faith and believing for these signs to manifest or expecting them to follow us, then probably it won't. If you're not activating your faith and constantly believing for these things to happen, then probably they won't. Because the Bible, Jesus says, believers, these signs will follow believers. And if you believe, see, how many of you know God specializes in impossibility? He does, yeah. That all things are possible. Yeah, He says all things are possible to them that believe. Right? We're limited, but God's unlimited. Yeah. I'm limited, but if I believe God, then it puts me in a different place of God bringing forth the impossibilities. Because I can believe for it. And that's what God wants. He wants somebody to believe His word or believe in Him that it's possible. Amen. So, can we say it matters what we believe? Yeah, it sure does, yeah? It matters what we believe, right? The word believe is defined to have a conviction or a complete confidence in the truth, in the word. Yeah, that's what it means to believe. Believe means to have a conviction or a complete confidence in truth, or we can say in God. Yeah? Or a reliability in someone or something. That's what believe means. To have a reliability in someone or something. Because only if one believes Can one act and respond purposefully? Yeah, because if you don't, then you won't respond purposefully. If you don't believe, right? As we said, you will only do what you believe. And if you don't believe, you won't do it. Yeah. But we're believers, right?
Yeah.
We're believers. We believe. You know, I came across this story in 1859. Boy, it's a long time ago. But in 1859, a man by the name of Charles Blowden, what happened was he walked 160 feet above the Niagara Falls on a tightrope stretched over a quarter of a mile. Imagine that. The Niagara Falls. You've been to the Niagara Falls, yeah? I mean, it's huge, right? So a quarter of a mile tightrope, right? 160 feet high. He walks across on the tightrope. The thundering sound of the pounding water drowning all other sounds as the crowd watched him step on the tightrope, and he walked across. On a later date, he walked backwards on the tightrope. Pretty gutsy guy, yeah? No fear here, right? He walked backwards on the tightrope. And then another time, he also pushed a wheelbarrow completely blindfolded on the tightrope. He's fearless. And as the crowd watched, he could hear all the ooh and the ah, you know? And it was said that he asked the audience, we're talking about believing, right? He asked the audience, do you believe I can carry a person across this tightrope in a wheelbarrow? You've seen that I can walk across it, right? I walked across it blindfolded. I walked across it backwards. Now, do you believe that I can push somebody in the wheelbarrow across the tightrope? And all the crowd shouted, yes, we believe. We believe you can. We have no doubt that you can. And then Charles posed a question. Then he said, then which one of you will get in the wheelbarrow? He waited and he waited and he waited. And of course, nobody did. So they really didn't believe that he could do it. But he believed he could. Yeah, he believed he could. Amen. Now notice the writer Mark, he used the word shall 7 times, right? Shall, right? These signs shall follow them that believe, right? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. You know, 7 times he makes, it's interesting, he makes mention of that word shall. It's not maybe or, you know, might or depends, right? No, shall. You know, this word shall means expect to. Yeah, it means expect to. Or will to, will have to. It will have to. These signs shall follow, these signs expect to follow believers. Let's put it that way. These signs have to follow believers. Have to, expect to. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. And God's will cannot be fulfilled, right? He needs somebody, believers, to expect to or shall to work through. Amen. So tonight I want to focus on that they shall speak with new tongues, right? We want to focus on that part. Because I want to continue. A few Wednesdays ago, I spoke on a message called White Tongues. How many of you remember that, White Tongues? So I want to focus on tonight, believers shall speak with new tongues or languages. new tongues or languages. How many of you speak in tongues or pray in tongues? Yeah. Amen. So we're going to talk about why tongues. And I want to just go over real quickly. So why tongues, right? There's a story of D.L. Moody was planning to have a revival meetings in England when an elderly pastor protested, why do we need this Moody? He's uneducated. He's inexperienced. He's a nobody. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has an exclusive possession of the Holy Spirit? But a younger, wiser pastor rose up and responded, no, but the Holy Spirit possesses Mr. Moody. Yeah. He doesn't have a personal possession on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit possesses him. On another occasion, while speaking to a large crowd, D.L. Moody held up an empty glass, and he asked the crowd, can anyone tell me how can I get the air out of this glass? One man shouted, you know, suck it out with a vacuum. Moody replied, that would create a vacuum and it will shatter the glass. And after numerous suggestions, Moody smiled, right? Nobody could figure out how to get the air out of the glass, right? So Moody smiled and he took a bottle of water. He filled it to the top. And that's how you get all the air out of the glass. To be filled. Yeah? So the illustration is the Christian life is not about accomplishing or by sucking out sin here or sin there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, remember we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. We had that whole series, right? You know, there's a difference between being the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there's a difference between the indwelling and the infilling, right? You guys remember that? The indwelling is when you receive salvation, you receive Jesus, right? The Holy Spirit comes inside and he indwells you, right? He baptizes you in Christ. That's the first baptism. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot be born again, right? You guys remember that? Because it's the Holy Spirit that he's the one that recreates your spirit, right? He empowers you to become born again. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace, right, you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right? So the Holy Spirit was the one that came inside and did what he had to do to recreate your spirit to become born again. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you could not be born again. So there's the indwelling. He comes and he indwells you. So we can say you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right? But then the indwelling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. The word baptized means to be immersed or to be saturated. Yeah? To be saturated. Kind of like a sponge that is saturated. Or like we read about D.L. Moody, you know, the Holy Spirit possessing him. You have the Holy Spirit, the indwelling, right? The dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has complete control over you. Does that make sense? The indwelling, you have the Holy Spirit. The infilling, the Holy Spirit has you. He controls you. You're possessed by the Holy Spirit. That's why if you are possessed by the Holy Spirit, the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking tongues, believers cannot be possessed by demons if you are possessed by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Demons can harass you, but they cannot possess you if you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. So the word immerse or baptism is immersion or completely absorbed or saturated like a sponge. So when we say baptized with the Holy Spirit, right, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit has full control over you. Your thoughts, your deeds, your actions are completely motivated by Him. You know? Yeah. Remember that one saying that I want to be so full or filled with the Spirit of Christ that if a mosquito bit you, he'd fly away singing, "There's power in the blood." To be so full of the Spirit of Christ, that's right. Now, we also learn, I'm just kind of like going over real quickly, we also learn that we don't receive the baptism at the time of salvation, right? Nor do we need the baptism in order to be saved, right? Salvation comes before being baptized, right? Because the Holy Spirit is holy, right? The Holy Spirit cannot inhabit a vessel that has sinned, right? Or defiled. So when you receive salvation, right, the blood of Jesus cleanses you, right? Washes away all your sin. Now you're clean, you're holy. Now the Holy Spirit can come inside of you now because you have been made redeemed, right? Justified, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Now He can come and dwell inside of you. We know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is needful, is a necessity in the life of the believer. However, that experience comes after salvation. And, you know, we saw through the book of Acts how different believers are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, how Peter and John, the beloved, met Samaritans who were born again, but had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when they came to these Samaritans who were born again, they said, "Have you been baptized?" We received the baptism of John, meaning water baptism, but we have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John got them filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were all filled, and they began to speak with other tongues. In Acts chapter 10:15, believers were also filled of the household of Cornelius. Believers in Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit, not to mention that the Apostle Paul himself was filled with the Holy Spirit when the Lord had instructed Ananias to go and heal Paul's eyes. At the same time, Paul's eyes were healed, but he also got filled with the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues as well. And we also talked about why believers should speak in tongues and the most important reason behind it. And we talked about the first reason every believer should speak in tongues is because tongues is the initial sign that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Tongues is just saying that this is the initial evidence that somebody or believer is baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the evidence, right? And what does that do when you pray in tongues? It ought to remind you that God, the Holy Spirit, is inside of you when you pray in tongues. See, sometimes when we pray in the Holy Ghost or we pray in tongues, we kind of like shut off our brains in a sense. But what I try to do is I realize that, hey, when I pray in tongues, it's to remind me that greater and mightier is He that is in me. God, the person of the Holy Spirit, is inside of me, right? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome Him, because He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world, right? And in John 14:16, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter," another translation say counselor or helper, "that he may abide with you forever." So we have, when we pray in tongues, we should realize that, hey, the helper is inside of me. The comforter, my counselor is inside of me, you know? And I need to realize that I can tap into this comforter, this counselor that is inside of me. I don't have to look for God out here, but God is inside of me. And I can have conversations with him right here, right? So what John was saying is, greater and mightier is he that is in you, means that the Holy Spirit abiding and residing within us is far more greater and mightier than Satan and his demonic cohorts, along with anything and everything that he might throw against us. You see, within every born-again believer lies tremendous power within you, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that God has endued you with power from on high, right? And you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, we should recognize, remember, the greater one lives inside of me, and I'm communicating with him. In Ephesians chapter 3, 20, it says, "Now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us." And that power that is at work in us is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I also like to include the power of God's love is also working within me. Yeah? The power of God's word is working in me. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals all these things in your life. There's tremendous power in our lives as believers. And he empowers and enables believers, you and I, to walk on this journey of faith. And not only to walk on this journey of faith, but to be able to live in victory 24/7. Amen. You remember the toy commercials years ago? That Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down? Yeah. See, knowing you as a believer, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, right? And he empowers you every day 24/7. I mean, you wobble sometimes, but you ain't going to fall down. No matter what storms you go through, it might shake you, but you ain't going to fall down. Amen. Realizing who's living inside of you, right? You know, Paul admonishes the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 17. He makes this statement. He says, walk in the Spirit, right? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the strong desires of the flesh. And what is the strong desires of the flesh? The strong desires of the flesh is it'll pull you out of the will of God, right? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, right? There's a war that goes on, right? They're contrary to each other. They have different agendas in your life. The flesh want to do it his way. The Spirit want to do it God's way, right? And whichever one that you give attention to, whichever one that you feed, is the one that will be dominant in your life. Yeah, it's pretty simple. You starve one, that one will starve. You feed the other, and the other one will grow. Feed your spirit, right? Starve your flesh, and your spirit man will grow. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to others, so you do not do the things that you wish. Yeah. So to walk in the Spirit means that you live your life completely dependent and by the guidance and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you do that, when you live dependent upon the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit, what happens is our sinful nature, our flesh, along with the world's enticements and the temptation that Satan brings against us, what will happen to you, it'll stop harassing you and stop dominating our lives when we walk and choose to walk in the Spirit. It's all a matter of choice, right? We choose to walk in the Spirit. And it takes some time, it takes discipline to choose the way of the Spirit. Everything is, life is all based on choices. And that's spiritual things as well. Yeah? Another important reason why believers must speak or pray in tongues is that for spiritual edification. Spiritual edification. We learned, we talked about it, we learned that to edify is to what? To build up, right? Just as a carpenter builds a house up. It's to build up, or also another definition is to charge oneself up like a battery, to charge yourself up. To build yourself up or to recharge your spirit man up, right? In 1 Corinthians 14:4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up or he recharges himself. How many of you know we live in a fallen world? And although we live in this world, right? Jesus told his disciples, although you live in this world, you are not of this world, right? We are not of this world. Jesus says, I'm from above, right? So if Jesus is from above, guess what? We're from above too, right? Yeah? We're just passing through, right? Heaven is our home. Yeah? We're passing through. But you know, if we're not careful, this sinful, heavy-laden, fallen world system will oppose you, it'll beat you, it'll wear you down as a believer, if we're not careful. Because we have to understand that Satan is the god of this world, right? Or the god of this world system. He controls the media. He controls everything. Yeah, because he's the god of this world, or the prince of the air. And he's the god of this world. And this world system, we have to realize, was never designed to build you up or define your identity. This world system. Yeah. Because as believers, we don't operate by the world system. We operate by the word system. Amen. And being that we operate by the word system, right? What God says about us, yeah? If we operate by the world system, our identity is in Christ, and we heed to what God says about us in his word, not by this world system. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, what it does is it edifies himself, it builds himself, it builds you up. Yeah? It's kind of like being in God's gym, right? Building your spiritual muscles. Building yourself up. You know? That's what I thought about when I read this scripture. And that word edify is the word edification. And it is derived from the word edifice. You know what an edifice is, right? Which means a massive, magnificent building. So when we pray in tongues, you are actually building, or you are erecting a superstructure, a divine operation on the inside of your spirit to house the anointing of God in your life. Amen. That's what you're doing. Familiar scripture. You know, we use it for when we lead people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 1 verse 20 from the King James. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, right? Building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So as believers, when we pray in tongues on a daily basis, building our spiritual muscles, right? As part of your prayer life, it'll build your spiritual muscles, it'll edify or recharge yourself by the power of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that will ensure you that you can be used effectively to build others up. So when you build yourself up, what are you building yourself up for? Right? To strengthen yourself right? To recharge yourselves for the sole purpose that you can build somebody else up. Yeah. To build somebody else up. To encourage somebody else up. It's not only to edify yourself and recharge. Yeah, we have. How many of you know you cannot give something you don't have? If you're not built up, then you cannot build somebody up. You know what I mean? Right? So when you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost, you edify yourself, right? You work in your spiritual muscles. Yeah? You're recharging yourself. It's kind of like that new thing now, yeah? Somebody can put their cell phone on your cell phone and recharge their cell phone, right? Can you do that, James? Yeah. It's like the same thing. Somebody that has to be recharged or built up, man, all you got to do is just put your hand on them and just share the word, and man, just build them up. Amen. Can you imagine how the church would look like if everyone was building each other up? Yeah. The praise and worship doesn't have to come up and pump us up. I mean, we'd be ready. Right? We'd be shouting before they even get on the stage, right? And that's how God wants us to be, man. So we can effectively build each other up or others up, because we are in this fight of faith together. We're in this together. And therefore, we are responsible to build each other up. You know, I get this thing on my email. It's a Christian news, and it shot a news saying that there was 28 shootings in Chicago over the weekend. It's like every weekend there's shooting in Chicago, gun shooting, 28 shot, 5 dead, the rest all wounded, every weekend. In fact, the recent long weekend, there was 33 got shot. So, you know, you can think about that as a Christian and go, oh, it's over there. It doesn't concern me. But, you know, the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, you can do something about it. So I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost began to tell me, take authority over the spirit of violence, over the spirit of murder over Chicago. You know, I began to do that. And a lot of the times, you know, we as Christians have the attitude, because it's over there, it doesn't concern us. You know what? In God's sight, it does concern us. And that we can do something about it in the spirit and take authority over those spirits. Because those are spirits that are controlling. Right? Spirit of murder, spirit of violence, all of these things. There's a puppeteer behind. There's an instigator. Although it's human beings, right? But we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, right? Right? Our warfare is not against people, but against principalities, powers, spirit of wickedness, spirits in high places. And that God has given us spiritual authority and dominion over these entities. That you and I, the body of Christ, have spiritual authority over these things. So, you know, praying in tongues allows you to be really sensitive to the Holy Ghost and what God's will is. And as you pray in tongues, you open yourselves up to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In times like that, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring a person's face to your mind, or a particular country or a situation. Be sensitive to hear and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me? I want you to intercede on that. I want you to intercede for that country. I want you to intercede for that person. Yeah? And that's what praying in tongues does. Right? It builds us up. It recharges up so we can build each other up. Because our words, right? Our words have power. You know, our words are not to tear down or criticize. Right? But our words are power. So praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues is a, how many know it's a gift from God. And we all have and can use it as believers. You know, I also believe that praying in tongues opens the door for the other gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. Praying in tongues allows the other gifts to manifest in your life. How many of you want the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in your lives? Tongues is what opens the door for your life, for those manifestation gifts to operate in your life. Because praying in tongues will kind of like put you in sync. It will align you with the will of God, right? It'll bring you in tune. It'll make you sensitive in a place where you are receptive to the things of God by which you're flowing in the Spirit. Your spiritual receptors become sensitive. You begin to sense the impressions of the Holy Spirit, the nudges of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will never come behind you and go, push you and go, hey, go do it. Now, I want you to do it now. No, he's not going to push you. Right? You know, he never forces you to do something. Holy Spirit will just nudge you like that, real softly. Go do that. So praying in tongues allows you to be sensitive. It aligns you. It puts you in tune. It kind of like the, you know, the radio. It puts you right on the dot to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And you know, and sometimes you might miss it, but that's okay. That's how we learn. Because I remember feeling this way, and I heard a voice say, do this, and I stepped out, and it was like, wow, it was God. So you learn by those impressions. You learn by those, you know, the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And praying in tongues is what allows you to be sensitive. Because, you know, we cannot force the gifts of the Spirit to operate and manifest when we want, right? For our own doing. We cannot. The manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit is as the Spirit wills. But when we pray in tongues, we make ourselves available, saying, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. I want to be used. So if you're willing, I'm willing too. How many of you know God can use a willing and available vessel? Doesn't matter if you get degrees or you went to Bible school or whatever. Doesn't matter. As long as you're willing and available, Holy Spirit can use you. We can, however, be ready and willing to cooperate, right? One of my prayers is, Holy Spirit, I respond and I cooperate with you in faith to your leadings, your promptings, your wooings, your compellings, your nudges, your inward inclination and direction and flow in sensitivity, obedience, and discernment. Yeah? I follow your lead. And praying in the Spirit allows us to do that. You know, how many of you have ever missed it? We've missed opportunities. We've all did. Every hand should be up. Some of our feet should be up too. There you go, 2 feet. That was 2 feet and 2 hands. We've all missed it. Why? Because we were not aware and not spiritually in tune where we could be receptive and sensitive to the things of God. Right? We were not available to be used of God. And I think we all can relate to that. And we've all missed it at times. And I know I have. But here's the thing, we learn from it, right? We learn from those missed opportunities. You know, God is amazing. He'll give you another opportunity to make up for it. This time you're ready, right? You're ready. I remember this scenario. I ain't going to miss my chance right now. So he'll give us other opportunities. So praying in tongues allows our spirit man to be aware, to be sensitive, and to be receptive to the Holy Spirit. So you can see why praying in tongues or praying in the Holy Spirit is so important as believers. So we find that speaking in tongues builds you up, it recharges you in your Christian walk and relationship with God. Tongues also reminds us that we have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us, that God Himself is with us 24/7. And I'm going to close here. Let's see. And I'm going to end with this one, this scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Praying in tongues also is praying in line with God's perfect will. When we pray in tongues, we pray in line with God's perfect will, right? Now, how many of you would like your prayer life to be in God's perfect will? That every time you pray in tongues, you're hitting God's perfect will all the time. But you know, Paul says to pray with the understanding, right? So when you pray in tongues, you understand that you're praying the perfect will of God, but you also have to pray, Holy Spirit, give me understanding. Interpret what I'm praying so that He'll reveal to you, you know, what you're praying with Him, right? And He says in Romans 8, 26, 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. That word infirmities is not disease or sicknesses. That word infirmity is weaknesses or limitations. We're limited when we pray. Yeah? You ever came across a situation, right? And you go, how in the world do I pray? Right? We're limited in our natural prayer life, right? Or you put in a situation where, you know, a tragedy happens, and you're thinking, how do I pray? What do I pray? Right? Why stuck? Well, Holy Spirit helps us in those times, in our weaknesses, in our limitations. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will give you God's perfect will, what to pray for that specific situation. Yeah, He will. He not only helps us to pray, He prays with us. It's supernatural. He helps us to pray. He prays with us God's perfect will for whatever the situation. Whether it's for our children, you know, whether for our wayward children who are not serving God. God, how do I pray for this one daughter or this one? You know, how can I pray? Well, pray in tongues. You pray in tongues and God will, man, He'll just give you the specifics of what to pray. His perfect will in that child's life. Amen. And that word groaning, which cannot be uttered, is divine secrets. Right? And 27 says, He that searches the hearts, notice that, He that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. The Holy Spirit not only knows what God's will is, but He will lead us. He will never lead us away from the Word. So that means as we yield to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to help us pray, He will lead us in line with what God has to say. So we can say that one of the Holy Spirit's role is that He's our intercessor. He's our intercessor. So knowing that He's our intercessor, as intercessors, we can be more effective intercessors because He is our intercessors. I mean, we can hit the mark all the time as we pray in the Holy Spirit, the intercessor. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. That God Himself. He knows the mind of the Spirit. Isn't that powerful? Is that supernatural? Amen. I believe as we begin to pray much in the Holy Spirit, man, answered prayers is going to be like rampant, supernatural. The very things that you believe in God or situations, as you pray in the Holy Spirit, God is going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the plan, how to get out of debt. However, whatever it is, yeah. I mean, if God was able to give Moses the plan or the pattern of heaven to build the tabernacle, right, the duplicate of heaven, I mean, Holy Spirit can give us all these things just by praying and interceding. Praise God. You guys received the word tonight? So we'll close right there. Well, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift, Father God. That it's to remind us, Lord, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, Father, pray in our tongues, that is the physical evidence, Lord, that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, lives and abides in us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us. When you made that promise that you never leave us or forsake us, that was a true statement, Lord. Because you sent the Holy Spirit and he lives and abides within us forever, for eternity. And we thank you for that, Lord. And when we pray in the Holy Spirit, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we pray God's perfect will. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, Lord, with groanings that cannot be uttered, Lord. We have the intercessor himself within us praying through us, Lord. And Lord, there's no limitation, Father, in essence of our prayer life, Lord. That Lord, that everything is unveiled, Father, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you that we have access to heaven. We have access to the Word. And the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and to guide us and to help us and to empower us every step of the way. And to lay claim, Lord God, that we are your children. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God, Father. We are supernatural beings, Father, here on this earth. And we have a language, Lord, a supernatural language, a heavenly language that you have given to us, Lord, and we can utilize and access the things of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen and amen. So we see how tongues are important to the believer.